down. There was a firefight!
Schuster, do the intro.
What?
Fair enough. Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode 35. I'm Tim.
Schuster.
I'm Lou.
And Rashid.
And we are at Schuster's abode.
The lounge.
Lounging in the most we're so spoiled right now.
There's sectionals. It's really great.
Catter-cornered. I mean, you know, assuming everybody's picked up good on the microphone, this is like as good as it gets.
Yeah, we're just like lounging back.
There's smooth jazz playing. You can't really see it. There's very attractive women fanning us.
You can't see the smooth jazz.
No.
You can't see the smooth jazz. You can't hear the smooth jazz. You can't see the women. There's very attractive women fanning us with large leaves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're being paid.
Yeah.
Fair market rate.
I wanted unattractive women, but I lost. I thought they'd be less distracting.
The veils, at least.
Veils.
Yeah.
Lots of veils.
Veils over everything.
Veils are mandatory for the...
So this is episode 35. As always, you can find us at capesandscowlspodcast.com. You can email us capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, we're on YouTube. You absolutely gotta check us out on YouTube to get the full experience.
You're welcome.
Yes, you can thank Schuster, I guess. Why not? And
just gonna take random credit for things during
that's
this
fun. That's fun. I'm so comfortable, I don't care. I may fall asleep.
You're like halfway gone.
I'm telling you, it's just, I'm going to nod
you're
off.
You're welcome.
A snooze cast.
Snooze cast. Tim is just snoring so loudly. But yes, make sure you check us out on YouTube. I've had people say, well, where's the new content? And I say, go to YouTube, it's there.
Wait, you had people question you?
The bastards.
And you let them live?
How dare they?
But they listen.
Just show them your back end.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. It is rock solid.
Look at that.
That's great. Yeah.
Like, you see how he just pulled it up and it was already
perfect?
He pulled
it up like it was cocked and ready to go.
It was.
Oh, I know.
It was.
I've been on the receiving end of that and it's not fun.
That's true. Only the fans get away with questioning, too.
That's right. I need them.
He comes here and takes it out on us.
We will all
we
be
pay for them. Your insolence.
Fan faster! and we're all on Twitter. I'm mad_dog_Tim. Rashid, what's yours?
At Too Many Cheetos.
And Lou?
And I'm at High Council Rock. And I post funny things sometimes.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah, usually just to Tim and Rashid and maybe to the guys at the Subliminal Films podcast.
Ah, yes. Good old Superliminal Films.
I got it wrong.
I've been on the podcast four times.
You've been on their podcast a lot.
I say it wrong every time. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm really sorry.
Tweet me because I am kind of lonely on this. I feel like I'm on this like island. I say funny stuff. Like I enjoy my
Here's the trick to Twitter. I just say everything you're going to say anyway, but just like tag a random person and just see what it gets you.
I love
wide net.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast a wider net.
And use hashtags.
I do that, but I feel like is the hashtag dying?
I don't know. I've never ever did it. I didn't know anyone
hashtag is up.
Oh yeah,
it's
totally. At a
sky high. I do it to annoy people at work, and it's very successful.
When you just say hashtag, that's different.
And then give them that grin.
Oh.
Schuster was making the hashtag motion with his fingers.
Oh,
for
yes,
anyone who didn't
right.
catch that.
The ladies love it. The fan ladies.
The fan ladies.
The veiled.
The
thinly veiled fan ladies love it when he does the hashtag with his fingers.
Hashtag
fingers.
Hashtag fingers. There you go. See, I know every time we do a podcast, we start a new funny hashtag.
Hashtag Spice Wars. Still going on. Going strong.
Give us
a recipe.
Hashtag Fast Formers. Let's get it
fast
funded.
Fast Formers, yeah.
Fast Formers.
That was a good one. It was like the greatest hits of hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe we'll do
hashtag,
that.
Hashtag fingers.
Hashtag
there fingers. Might be another one before the end of the day.
You do realize we've lost many viewers. of this. Just
actually, we didn't have any viewers.
No, you don't just have many to lose.
Yeah, can't divide anything by zero. So, you know, we can just go up from here.
Yeah, true.
There's more than zero. Right. I hope
there is more. There is more. I'd be so sad.
Yeah, there's people that enjoy this.
Yeah,
and there's got to be more. You know, there's gonna be more.
There's gonna be.
Backhand.
Or the backhand.
Or the backhand for us. If you buy me a plane ticket, I will come to your house and backhand you.
It's like the end of Ride. Jan, Simon, Bob.
I was thinking that too.
Just go to all of our fans' house and just... like, you pay for our ticket and we'll just beat the shit out of you.
If you pay for my plane ticket, I will go and do damn near anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Damn near. Hashtag damn near. So... I guess, how is everybody? I want to dive into the news. I don't want to do it. I'm so comfortable.
You're lounging.
Yeah.
I know I love the news and all, but I'm not rushing it.
Because it's usually good news.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about this podcast, is when you read the news, we're probably the only people who read the news, and it's like all positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah,
to get excited. Get excited about things.
Get pumped.
Yeah.
Super pumped. So, Rashid... I'm going to start with you.
I thought you might do that. And
because Leander always claims I go to the left. And
I know. Yeah. I thought I was fine. Like, I had to hear everybody else's so I could make mine better later and just lie a lot. But I just got to start with the most exquisite lies from the beginning, though.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
Set the bar so high that
so
we're just
I jet
terrible.
Skied over, like, 5 sharks this weekend. It was pretty incredible. No, I actually always think about this part and think of, like, what I do that might be considered exciting. But there really hasn't been much. There's been a lot of days I was able to just, like, spin in my boxers eating Captain Crunch this last week. So that's good to me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make for that exciting of an anecdotal story, but, I mean...
Can we put a YouTube video up of you and your boxers eating Captain Crunch?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
The opportunities
you and the captain
are, like,
make it
yeah,
happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Bloody mouth and all.
Bloody mouth. I love Captain Crunch.
I do. It's worth the pain.
I hear it has no nutritional value at all.
Really?
That's what I heard. Weren't people, like, protesting, like, a year or two ago to get it taken off? Because it has, like, virtually no vitamins, no nothing.
Oh, I...
People will protest anything.
Sure. My friend's brother used to take the marshmallows out of Lucky Charms and make an all-marshmallow cereal.
God. Oh, my God.
And then throw the rest away.
Diabetes.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, that's straight diabetes. Am I the only person
that
doesn't...
That's the kind of thing you could do when you're, like, 12, because you can eat whatever you want when you're 12.
Am I the only person that doesn't like that
later.
Texture?
What,
that marshmallow
oh,
texture
no, I
is
hate
just
it.
So
it's
chalky
oh,
and gross.
Yeah, now I know.
I didn't do it.
I never liked it, though. Like, I'd rather,
think as a kid, I would just eat about anything, but
like,
now you shove something
as
in there
a kid, he says.
Also...
like a goat.
Also, I would have had to stick my family up with, like, a shotgun to get any type of sugary cereal in my house. Like, it just wasn't happening growing up.
I always wanted to, like,
Cheerios,
like Kix or something
life.
Like that. Like,
Cheerios for life.
They make Kix seem so appealing, and then you just get it, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Like, Kix was, like, Kix was the best, like, the best I could do.
It was so cheap. It was always on sale. It was like either Cheerios or Kix.
Yeah.
I'm like,
because it's not made out of anything. It's like puffed cardboard, man. And if you got Berry Kix, that was the jam. If you came home to Berry Kix, that was going to be a good day.
Now, my thing was the Reese's.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
If I did good, and my mom was like, you deserve something, I got a box of $18 Reese's, whatever they were. They were expensive.
I got the Waffle Crisp all day.
Mm-hmm. Never had a Waffle Crisp.
Cereal is always better when it tastes like some other form of breakfast food, or food in general. Reese's Cup, waffles, anything.
Yeah, anything besides flake.
What? Yeah. I told my wife not to buy Kix anymore because I noticed the sugar bowl just drastically reduced. Like, my kids are just putting sugar onto it to try to turn it into something else. And I'm like, I was like, you and I are the only ones who use the sugar for the coffee. I said, this sugar bowl should not be, like, in half. Like, I don't know what happened overnight.
I make Kix like I make Kool-Aid. Like, there's no set amount, you know. Coming from a black household, you kind of just eye it up. And it's always like an anthill. Like, it's always like a little island coming out of the bowl. And then you just stir it up a little bit, like a cauldron. You know?
That's nice. Awesome.
Cereal.
Who knew if we would go there?
I'm going forever.
Oh, cereal. He did the fingers, ladies. Calm down. Hashtag fingers.
Hashtag fingers alert.
I miss Leander.
Oh.
He's in, like, Minneapolis or something. He's around.
He's just got the anecdotal sense of, like, you know, I can't string together. Like, I feel like he waits for those stories. Where, for me, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Day at a time. I'm not going to lie, I can't really remember what I did yesterday or the day before that much.
Sounds like a party.
Mm-hmm. You sat in your boxers and you had Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah! Okay, all right. That rings a bell.
Mm-hmm. Lou, did you do anything fun? How are you? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm all right. I don't know if we were going to talk about this anyway, but I've been working, like, really hard, school and work, all that stuff. Holidays. Don't have a lot of time, but whatever time I do have, I've replaced sleeping with trying to get through Daredevil.
Because, man,
I haven't finished it, but I'm close. Mm-hmm. I'm close. I think I'm 3 episodes away, and I have sacrificed a lot of sleep to get where I am.
As you should.
Netflixing is, like, taking up... My Netflixing is getting in the way of my Netflixing. Because, like, I started watching that. I'm finishing up The Office because I never watched that when it was on. But also, like, a week before Daredevil premiered, I just started watching House of Cards also. So
Season 4 for the first time.
Just for the first time. Oh, from, like, the beginning. And then I'm watching on just regular On Demand. I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. So I'm, like, binging. Like, today I'm going to binge this. Today.
You're going to need, like, a truck full of Captain Crunch to get through the week.
That is what happened. Like,
I told you about the sugar already. Yeah. How do you think I'm doing this?
Hashtag binge schedule.
The fingers, I got excited.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Has everyone but me finished Daredevil already?
No, I'm at like episode 8.
I finished it.
Well, weekend. Are you finished, Schuster? He's finished. I'll just say, I don't think I need to spoil anything, but the new actors they got for Punisher and Elektra, that's not a spoiler. Everyone knew they were in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Are so good they make the rest of the cast look bad.
Wow,
that's what I think.
Do you like Barenthal that much?
That's the Punisher?
Yeah.
I think he is the best actor in the whole series.
Okay.
So far.
You disagree, it seems.
It's not that I disagree. It's. I think he's good, but I wouldn't agree to that level. Like, I think he's good. I actually like the original cast of the show a lot, and I really like, you know... I mean, what is this? Is this... Jessica Jones is the only other Netflix show we have to go off of, right?
So far.
Luke Cage is coming out later this year.
Yep, yep.
I really like the casting for that. Everything from the villains to everything. The casting, you know... If we're talking the show in general, I'm going to say that...
Your team Foggy?
Foggy, yeah. Foggy all day.
I mean, he's good. I think he definitely, like, as an actor, he stepped up from season 1. Mm-hmm. Like, the character... I mean, season 1, all the characters, the main characters seemed a little bit one-dimensional, and they sort of got better as the series went on. I think this season just... I mean, all the actors seem, like, more comfortable in their roles, and I think it shows, like, the delivery's a lot better. There's more sort of, like, tension between them, whereas, like, season 1, it was sort of like, oh, we're just, like, buds all the time. Now there's kind of that tension that you're getting to see more of a range of emotions and everything like that. So I think that's cool. But I mean, as far as the new characters, I was blown away by the Punisher. Like, his scenes are like, his delivery is just so tight. He's exactly what I wanted. And I've been a huge Punisher fan. He's like what I wanted to see. You know, he's when he does these the scenes of, like, oh, I'm telling the Punisher story, you're like, it's very real. And then, like, when he's, like, kicking ass, it's like he's like the Terminator. So he just has this range
of, very,
like,
much like that.
You're like, you're feeling sorry for him, you're like, you know, feeling sad and everything like that. And then you go to, like, I'm scared of this guy. Like, I know he's beating up bad guys, but it's, like, so vicious. I don't know.
I thought the violence really went up.
It did.
The violence is crazy.
I didn't think they would go, like... spoiler, I'll say spoiler first. This is the episode I did get to. I think it might be where they actually introduced the Punisher. But in the church, where he, like, stabbed the guy in the eye, like, I didn't think they were going to go that far with that. That was, like,
yeah, really... And that was, like, the tip that tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Or the tip of the ice pick.
I do find it interesting that...
Hashtag tip of the ice pick. Come on, Tim. Get back on track.
Back on track. I noticed. I am lounging.
Tim fell asleep now. When I made that voice.
Somebody poke me when it's my turn to talk. No, I like the violence. Like, it was very realistic. It was a lot of, like, ground and pound. Like, mm-hmm. He does, like... The only nitpicky thing I could
say... Is it the double punch?
No, I don't mind double punches. No, the flip kick that he knocks everybody down with. It's like he does a flip and hits you with a shin. And then which is fine a couple times, but I felt like they did it too much. But he'll do that, and then he'll, like, jump on a guy and, like, punch him.
Are you talking about Daredevil or Punisher?
Daredevil.
Yeah. Punisher ain't flipping.
No, there's no flipping.
But there's also, the Daredevil action is, like, from the first season. Like, he's just beating him up, you know. Then he runs in and he just... Are a totally different...
Grounded pass.
Like, it's, like, two different shows. Like, yeah, you're kinda. Watching two different shows.
I feel the same way about... The flip kick?
The flip kick.
If you, like, watch it again, there's, like, the flip kick... And then, like, the knockout punch he does is, like, this double knockout punch. It's, like, a like back-to-back. And I feel like it just looks like an early PlayStation 2 game where if you just press the same button too many times, you really only had one combo. Like, that's what it kind of looks like. Because he does either the flip kick or he just double punches them and they just get knocked out. But as far as the acting goes, the only actor I like in the series more is... I did really like Kingpin. I thought they did a really good job with him in the first season. I don't think there's been a bad casting in the show yet. I just, like, Barenthal, like, I don't have anybody off the top of my head that I think might do better, but I think there is somebody out there that could have done a little bit better.
I don't know. I can't.
I also didn't finish the series, so.
Okay, yeah, neither did I. I mean, but I saw...
Dolph Lundgren, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I love Dolph Lundgren.
I've actually never seen... A Punisher movie.
What? You never seen
it? And now I'm never gonna because it will never... Am I right? I mean, I'm sure you've seen them all.
It's 80s-rific, though. You might enjoy it.
Okay, so you have to...
I actually feel like the Barenthal performance has little nods to it. I feel like there's tiny little things. We'll go into it later after everybody's seen it. I just feel like there's little nods to the Lundgren Punisher. Yeah.
Anyway, it's probably the most violent TV show I've seen besides Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And really?
Yeah, it's got some moments. I mean,
it's the first three episodes. It's like super violent. The only problem I had is like, okay, so the first two episodes, spoiler alert: who's killing the gangs? It's the Punisher. But you already know that because they like promoted him, and you knew the character was going to be it. So all the gangs are going around like, who's doing this? Who's doing this? And you know, like, it's the fucking Punisher. Just bring him out already, you know. But besides that, yeah, just crazy violence, and then it, like, simmers down for a little bit, and then it just, gets right back up there. So, get ready.
Nice.
Anyway, so, yeah, I've been doing that a lot. A lot of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. Schuster, anything with you?
Just a lot of work, finishing Daredevil. Currently, I'm sure we'll get to this eventually. Batman vs. Superman tangent.
Don't be so sure. Nothing is...
Who's seen it yet? Anyone?
Just Schuster.
Just Schuster.
Just Schuster.
So this is going
to
be...
So go to our YouTube page, and soon we will have Schuster's review of Batman v. Superman. No, we're really doing that.
Because that's what I did all day today, was fend off coworkers who agreed or disagreed with me.
Now, where do you stand?
Overall,
shortly, where do you stand?
No spoilers here. I liked it, but I completely 100% agree to why somebody wouldn't like it. Because I do think that there are a lot of issues with the movie. I think what I did is I put less weight on that.
Right.
The things that I really liked about it just stood out more than the bad things. I could nitpick that movie all day, and I would probably mostly be agreed upon here. It's just that I put a little less weight on it, and I fight off coworkers all day because of that.
And I think for people that enjoy, you know, comics and read deeper into the characters might feel that way, because I personally feel like they gave away a lot in the trailers. And seeing what they gave away in the trailers... I already kind of have a floor of what to expect, and having that floor makes it like, okay, well, it can only really be this bad, you know?
If you've seen Trailer 2,
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't going into the film.
Seen a trailer? Or you can spoil a trailer.
Are you sure? I mean,
some people avoid trailers. In my opinion,
it hurt the film for
me. I usually do sometimes.
It right. seriously hurt the film for me.
Well, no, I've seen trailer too, though.
Trailer two was two characters. One of them we knew was in there, but it was a reveal of a certain reveal. And another character nobody knew was in there, and you're just like, what in the hell is that? So going into it, I knew the plot points of the film. I knew the pacing. I knew what was going to happen. It didn't. I was just sitting there going, okay, yeah, that's where we're at now. Because I saw the trailer.
Exactly, that's how I feel about it.
And because of that one character that I already knew was in there kind of spoiling it, the ending, which, because you haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it, I was like, yeah, that's where it's going to go.
Right,
I'm a comic book guy. I already knew this. Yes. And that's one of the things that I was fronting off coworkers, because they said, bah, that was stupid. And I'm like, you might be right, but anybody should have seen that coming.
Right.
So, before I...
That's one thing I was thinking about. Like, I wonder if, like, actors or whoever or, like, people who are working on the movie need to, like, sign, like, non-disclosure agreements or something like that. Because it seems like in a comic book movie with so much buzz and everyone has a, you know, Facebook, Twitter, everything like that, how hard it is to keep something like that a secret. That, oh, we're going to have this character in the movie no matter who it is. It's probably going to get out, so I wonder if people are, like, legally bound not to talk about it, or if like, hey, everyone knows they're probably going to be in the movie, so let's put it in a trailer.
Well, I would say that, yeah, they all sign huge non-disclosure agreements, but if you look at Star Wars, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot that came out on Star Wars. Those trailers were awesome because they showed so little. I went into the film, and I was legitimately happy with what happened, because I didn't know what was happening. I watched the trailers for Batman Superman, and I'm like... After trailer two, I was like, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And I'm just like, that really hurt it for me.
Honestly, the thing I'm most excited about is Jeremy Irons' Alfred. Like, I saw that and I was like, yup, perfect. Mm-hmm. For me, I was just like, hell yeah.
I will say, the moment the movie ended, all I wanted to see was a Ben Affleck directed Batman.
As Batman directed?
Okay. No, both. As Batman and directing. Because right now, there's no spoilers here. He is in line with Jeff Johns to direct and write a solo Batman film in that
universe. All for that. Yes. Just off of his, you know, directed movies alone. Especially, like, The Town. If any of you have seen The Town. Like, I think that's a great movie. And if he can bring anything that he brought to that movie to Batman... And kind of follow that kind of, like, grittiness towards it. And if, you know, with how Deadpool did, if they could... I don't think they're going to make Batman an R-rated movie. But if they can just make it that hard PG-13, that could be a really good movie.
I feel like Dark Knight level was probably as close as it needs to get to, you know...
I mean, it could work, but I don't think it's necessary.
Like, most of the Batman movies had that hard PG-13 where it was like, it's just on the edge. It could...
Well, I mean, I watched the other day the honest trailer for the 89 Batman, which was really funny. Did you see it? Because they were comparing the Christopher Reeve Superman and then that one. And then they had a good point of how Michael Keaton Batman kills an awful lot of characters in that movie. Like, no, he's a psychopath. And it was it's really funny. Not that I plug other people's stuff, but...
That's not what happens in this, but there is something that Batman does in here that, if you read people's reviews, they are so black and white on it. Mm. Batman does do something that a lot of people think is sacrilege for Batman. And I went, yeah, but there's this, and this about this Batman. They're totally awesome that, in my opinion, weighs that less than what he supposedly did bad. So, and that's why I rated the movie high, because I liked the action, I liked the way the character arcs, you know, went with some of them.
Right.
Yeah. And,
creepy left.
So, but as the only one that's seen it, that's where I have to...
Do you recommend it? Are you like, go see it, or are you like, wait till DVD?
If you're a comic book fan, you have to go see it. Okay. Regardless. I do give it go see it. Just know you're gonna be sitting there for 3 hours because
it's
I timed it. It was 23 minutes of trailers plus the 2 minute, like, you know,
after
turn off your phone bullshit. Yeah. And then it was 2 hours and 25 minutes of that movie.
Okay.
So it was like 3 hours of, you know, you're there.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with sitting in front of a 3 hour movie and other people are not. So
yeah.
I always profess that.
Well, we'll cut you there because you're going to do an actual review.
All right.
So I'll stop you there. I'm okay. I don't have much to say. I was in D.C. for work. The Magic Grand Prix that was in D.C. We had a guy dress up as a T-Rex and walk around with our shirt on.
That was awesome.
And it got on Magic's website, which was really awesome. So, to Donald McDowell and Carlo Favretto for getting on the Magic site, that was pretty awesome. I don't think either of you listened to this, but there you go, there's your props. And I've just been busy, so between that and binging Daredevil, I think
people it's are... It's so funny, it's taking such a big chunk of all our schedules.
It's like, hey, why is there no new podcast? Like, yeah. I gotta watch Daredevil for the podcast.
Why aren't the trains running?
Yeah.
Why is the bridge closed, Daredevil?
Let's not go back to the guy with the bridge.
Yes, state of emergency.
All right, so let's get into this news here. It's a lot of DC, actually. I try to, you know, get different stuff, but... Well, we'll skip to this one because we were just talking about Batman v Superman. Made $420.1 million global box office for its first weekend. That is...
170 for...
Right.
America.
Yeah, it was just a little shy of that.
See, there you go. It doesn't matter how good it is.
Which is it's
gonna make
great.
That gonna make that money. Right. Is it great? Mm-hmm. Is it great that it doesn't matter if a movie's good or bad?
You know, what's interesting is, do you think more people wanted to go see it since it got such bad critic reviews?
I mean, critic reviews
were abysmal.
Yeah.
They really were.
Yeah. I'm the type of guy that I look at that Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I trust if it's like 60 or 50, like, I'm probably just gonna wait to download it illegally, or like...
But are you that way with superhero movies? Like, if it's something that you have a stake into?
I don't get out to a lot of movies, and movies are expensive. It's not like, you know, a $5 matinee anymore. It's like, you know, $11, $12 plus your popcorn, and then it's like, you know, $30 later. You know, and I don't have a lot of time to see a lot of movies, so like that number, I'm a type of person that number really affects whether I'm going to go out or not. And see it, or if I'm just going to wait to get it on online somehow.
The problem with that, though, is I did delve deep into the Batman v Superman Rotten Tomatoes, and at least two of the top critics, ones who were considered top critics, basically said, I don't like superhero films, so I want to go into this hating superhero films. How terrible a review is that? You're already going in there, you dislike the genre, or you're tired of the genre, and you're going to rate it poorly.
Yeah, right. That's bullshit.
Now, granted, more other people went in there and trashed it too, so that kind of, I guess, sweeps it on the rug, but it's just like, I read those two and went, I don't care if you're a top critic, you're like, I hate westerns, let me go watch 310 to Yuma. It's just like, no! That's such a terrible, biased opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you think as a film critic, like, you need to, you know, be a little open-minded, but...
Literally, that was one of the guys, expert, was like, I am tired of superhero films, so here's my negative review.
Zero. Thanks for trying, buddy. You're not going to sway this critic.
But I agree. I love Rotten Tomatoes. I do. Yeah. I do generally agree with it.
So that box office, the global weekend box office, it's only behind Force Awakens, Jurassic World, and Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2. So it's a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive.
A way they do this now, where you can see like the true box office, because just the influx of ticket costs over the years of like...
Oh, you mean like adjustment for
inflation? Yeah, because it always like changes that. Just because of the inflation.
Right.
Yeah, you know? I would hope that when they do a report like that, they take that into account, because otherwise it would be meaningless.
It feels like this record's getting broken every other month.
Well, right. Well, like Gone with the Wind is a great example. That's one of the biggest movies of all time. They definitely have to adjust that for inflation.
Right.
Yeah.
For it to still be
but
accurately
also, I think the reason that the records keep getting broken is because global release is only like... not that old. Like, they didn't have you know, even 15 years ago, all over, like, you know, China, they probably didn't have as many movie theaters, you sure. know? There's probably a lot of places who are just getting these movies, and yeah, that's going to bump up your total, and maybe right. they don't care if the movie's bad, because it's like, whoa.
Plus, on top of that, globally, we're getting it. Batman and especially Superman are so iconic that you just know who that character is, even in some yeah. of these... not third world countries, I don't want to say that, but like yeah. some of these other countries where it's not
called,
their icon.
They're called developing nations, okay. Tim.
Oh, all right.
Developing okay. nations?
Those. Developing nations.
Is the preferred term.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we have more, I feel like we have more franchises these days. More, you know, films that a global audience wants to see and see lots of sequels and stuff like that.
Sometimes I think about that, though, and I'm thinking, like, is it really that different today than, like the Rocky movies?
Mm-hmm.
They never stopped. They never really stopped. There were so many sequels to Terminator and Rambo, and, like, they just weren't... There are different mm-hmm. types of franchises, but basically the same movies have been being made since the late 70s, early 80s. Like...
No, I didn't say that there weren't any franchises until the year 2000, but, you know...
Are you sure that's something you said?
Are you sure?
I think that's what you said.
That's rewind, no.
Nobody nah. rewind.
No,
you rewind. Stay right here.
but no, I mean, you've got... I will say comic book films have helped to blow up the box office. I mean...
Sure.
Minus, of course, Harry Potter and Hunger Games and all the, and books turn to movies, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can say the same thing about comic books to movies have helped. Especially the Marvel films. So, but yes, having, what is it now, like $11, $12 to go see a movie at night on top of $15 plus dollar 3D plus IMAX and all this stuff, yeah, it's totally going to cause an inflection.
It's going to bump your numbers.
Yeah. I feel like there's more IMAX showings of things than regular showings and things like that. I feel like
what to be comfortably seated, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go in Fandango and I see the 3D movies first, before the 2D movies, pisses me off because I've had friends literally go, I bought tickets! And I go in there and they're handing me glasses. I'm just like, why? Why?
Yeah, I'm really
here. And they go, oh, these are the times. And they pick them and it's the 3D times first. Yeah.
Plus, we have glasses. Actual
yeah,
glasses.
We have.
It's not fun. I just throw them over my glasses and I'm like, whatever, I'm probably going to fall asleep. Avatar. Alright, well, alright, I'm going to save this for the end, more DC. So let's go to DreamWorks has released a trailer for their new Netflix cartoon.
Uh-oh.
Voltron, Legendary Defender. Has anybody seen this?
Okay. Was this yesterday or 2 days ago from when we were recording this? Over the weekend, was it?
Probably.
I did see, I saw an image from it, but I didn't watch the actual trailer.
So I watched the trailer. This will debut June 10th on Netflix. It is not rated, so God knows what kind of Voltron we're actually getting. But I did watch it, and it is very much an ode to the original transformation scene. It's just the transformation scene. The lions running like they always did. They fly up into the sky, and they form Voltron. But like even like the way the lions come together to form arms and legs and things was pretty accurate to the original. Okay. So it's kind of like, well, we're going to just show you that we know what we're doing. We know the original source material, which is good. Are you guys excited for... Do you guys even care about Voltron
at
all?
I do. I do. Really young when I was watching Voltron, so it's not like I remember anything like story-wise, but like I'm a 90s kid, so any sort of giant robot I'm all about. I'd prefer not prefer, but like I'd also like if they brought back Zoids. Like Zoids was kind of my shit when I was younger. Like if they brought that back, I would be all for that. But I'm definitely going to watch Voltron. I feel like you have to. That is, I don't know if that's the original transforming robotic thing, but I feel like it is.
Well, original, I don't know. To America, maybe. It's one of the first ones, but.
Without that, we wouldn't have Power Rangers and a lot of the other stuff that, you know, I like, so.
Did you ever see the Japanese Spider-Man? Have we talked about that on here? I've been telling everybody. You gotta go hunt down YouTube footage or whatever, because the people who went on to become the Power Ranger people. Did the 70s Japanese
live
Spider-Man
action?
Live action.
Oh my god,
it's amazing. He has a giant robot. It is so good. And, like, he'll show up, and it'll be, like, cut scenes of him, like, in weird positions. And he's like, I am the deadly... I am your death, your doom. I am the Spider-Man. And, like, things like that. And I'm just like, this is so good. This is everything I could have wanted, and I never knew.
Watching that tonight.
Yeah, I don't... I've seen it on different shows that I've watched on YouTube, different things where they're like, hey, you probably didn't know this existed. It's amazing. So, I don't know, maybe we need to drink heavily and watch that.
I'm down.
You know, where he, like, shoots webbing and it's like a rope.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it is the people who went on to do Power Rangers, interestingly enough.
Man. I can't, I disagree.
Disagree as far as?
I mean, this is kind of, this is probably the type of rant that should be saved for a minisode, but...
Nope, let's do it.
Do it. Unleash.
Dude, the Voltron, like, the whole, like... nostalgia for 80s cartoon things, the more and more I think about it, the more ridiculous it is to me. Because the cartoons that they were made, I mean, most of that stuff, I don't know, maybe here and there there's some original, like, graphic novels or something that some of them were based on, but the majority of the stuff was created to just sell action figures.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no.
The action figures
absolutely
were the point of the cartoons. So... like, everyone forgot about this stuff for a while, and then it seems like Hot Topic came back, and they're like, let's put the Thundercats thing on a t-shirt. Let's put, you know, Voltron, G.I. Joe, whatever. All these, like, franchises, and then all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, hey, remember when I was just old enough to start watching this? And that's, like, what you remember from your childhood, and the whole thing is, like, a three-decade-long marketing strategy that right. is just so good. It's so good because they hooked you when you were a little kid, you forgot about it, then they brought it back later on, and now they're like, remember those toys you had? Well, it's, like, a huge industry. Transformers, all that kind of stuff.
But do you think that necessitates that it's not going to be good? Because... originally, I agree with you. These shows, like, I go back and I watch TV shows that I'm overly nostalgic about.
Yeah.
And they're terrible.
Yeah. Street like He-Man. I try to watch He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm like, what am I looking at?
Well, you know what?
But I like things getting a second chance.
Well,
with
here's
good
a,
writing.
I think with good writing, you can make anything good. Like, you could take, I don't know, you could take Street Sharks and, you know, like, put an Oscar bait cast and get, like, the best writers in Hollywood. And you
Let's
could
get
make,
that
like, you know,
best
picture,
Street Sharks.
Street Sharks. You know what I mean? Like, you
I'm
you
sure
could
Michael
make
Bay
anything good. But I'm saying, like, the origins of the story were to sell you stuff. Whereas with comic book movies, at least the source material was even as bad as old comics were. Because let's be honest, old comics are terrible. I read Action Comics number 1. It was pretty much garbage. Everyone who threw it away was correct. Everyone who saved it was just... like, come on, Action Comics.
We cannot protect you after this.
Wow.
You're out on your own.
No, does anyone out there think Action Comics number 1 is, like, all right, great?
So news do not reflect the views of
here.
Other comic...
coming to his defense, because I never read Action Comics number 1, but I bought the frickin' brick volume of Green Lantern. And the first issues of Green Lantern is so bad.
Yeah.
You know what? Just like the female lead was just like, I wish Hal Jordan would marry me.
Well, right.
I can't live without a man.
Yeah,
and it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, guys, like, that's not good anymore. It's not, it wasn't good then. It wasn't good. That's the thing. We're talking, the comics started when, like, Faulkner and Hemingway were writing. And then you got this story where it's like, it's a bird, it's a plane.
So you have to think about
this.
With
yellow underwear in the comic.
All these comic books that you guys are shitting on inspired the people whose comic books you actually like or inspire the people who... So without these shitty comics or these shitty TV shows, some of your actual favorite stuff might not exist.
No, it's true. I'll give you that point. I want to give you that. But I would say, even as shitty as I think that these old 30s comics are, and let's be honest, none of you guys are going home and reading that stuff.
I have a collection.
I'm already
I'm waiting for your rant to stop.
Are
so
you
I
diving
can tell
into
you.
Your essentials every night?
I'm
and you're like, volume one, let's start all the way at the beginning.
I'm waiting. You finish your rant, and
okay.
I'll wrap it up.
And I'll say, even as much as I don't like those old comics, at least, like, the reason for their creation was to tell a story. Whereas, fast forward to the 80s, 90s, and the cartoons, the reason for the creation and all the stories that came from them was to give you, as a kid, the nostalgia, so that later on you would continue to buy products for the rest of your life. And that's the key difference. So yes, are there probably great G.I. Joe stories out there? Like, absolutely, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's great, you know, Transformers stories and stuff.
The fire in his eyes as soon as you said G.I. Joe.
Fine.
No, I know. I know you like it. I'm sure that good content has been created. But I'm just
comfortable.
I'm finding it. It's kind of. I think it's just kind of a mind fuck that it's like we bought into it. We still love it, and anything they put out, we're at least going to try because they got us when we were kids. And rant.
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
I'm
ready.
No, I want to hear a couple things, because you're not wrong, but you're not right either. So
that's pretty impartial.
Yeah, no, it's both sides right there. As far as like the nostalgia and the animation and stuff, a lot of those animators were told what they were to animate. Like, there was no original stories. If you watch your old 80s stuff, it's like, oh, you have the clone episode, and like, oh, the evil bad guy infiltrates, and he has a heart. And like, all these, they were told what to make. No creativity happened pretty much at all with the old animation. It's, you watch an episode of the Smurfs, I guarantee you, there's an episode of He-Man that matches it. It's the same thing.
Yeah, because there was always like the one where the bad guy splits into two bad guys, and then they have to team up, and
bodies.
And the body switch. All the same thing.
Right.
And I think it's Paul Dini, who went on to do Batman the Animated Series. He started on He-Man. And he said that. You were told what you did, and you were punching in and punching out every night. And that's the way it was. Now, as far as Superman, go to hell, Lou. No. ironically, this is great. Ironically, last week I bought The Complete Superman. It is Action Comics 1 through like 24. It's the first like 25 or so Superman comics ever. And I say, we all read it, at least number one, and then we'll debate it on the next podcast.
All right. I'll read it.
At least actually one. I'm not going to make you read the whole
book. Yeah, I have
actually
one at home, you know, CGC 9.0.
Yeah, well, sweet.
That's a reprint. JK, 92.
The Nestle quick one?
No, it was in the Death of Superman pack. Okay. Like the reprint pack. It came with, like, you know, the graphic novel, issue 75, like fourth printing or something like that, and action number one reprint.
Oddly enough, some of those reprints are worth money. Not like crazy money. But like the Nestle reprint from like the 70s, I think is like $40 or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something you got with your Nesquik or whatever.
Send in the secret codes, kids.
But no, it wasn't bad. I didn't, you know, beat up Lou. I didn't give him the backhand.
I thought I was going to give him the backhand. But Superman number one is the greatest scripting.
I do stand by that, just in the sense of like the shovelware, like. They made this for Voltron, you know, just to sell these toys. But when you're young, when you're 8 years old, you know, the only thing, especially before video games, the only thing you had was your imagination. And I think those imaginations came to craft some things we love now, some of the newer stuff.
I could say that's not true. There was no before video games for any of us, right? We all have video games.
No, not for us, but there wasn't video games to the level of now, where I think video games rob children of imagination because it's already done for you. Like, there's so many more kids just playing video games and not playing with toys. Like, for me, I had, like, the WWE ring, and I had, you know what I mean? I did have my Power Rangers, and, you know, especially the creativity of having, like, a Power Rangers and a Batman and an Incredible Hulk and coming up with that story in your head of how this all should make sense to you.
Okay, that's a good point. If you're playing with action figures, it takes some mental front-loading to actually entertain yourself.
And the only other thing I would say is I don't have children, but it's nice for, you know, some people might not have that connection with their kids to just go out there and throw a baseball with them. But, like, if you go in, you know, you come home from work and you see your son watching Spider-Man or you see your son watching Voltron and be like, yo, like, I used to watch this too, and, like, they keep the characters the same, that's, like, something else that you can bond with. So, yeah, I do initially think it was, like, shovelware to just sell it, but it's become so much more than that because of the nostalgia. Nostalgia, I think, can go either way. It can just be bad, like, Street Sharks, like we said. Or it can turn around and actually be something that's even greater. I mean, even if you go back to comic books, like, to me, like, as an early comic book reader, I'd see Archie and I'd kind of, like, laugh at him. Like, I'm not going to read Archie. That's not a real comic book to me. But now I'm reading Archie because the way that they've spun it around and changed it, it's one of the best comic books out right now. And I think everything has that chance to bounce back and become something great or become what it once was or what it should have been.
I think that's a very, very well-stated point. But I do think that that's also, like, the ultimate win for those original peddlers of bullshit. It's like, well, they did it, you know? They made their, like, meaningless, like, their meaningless stories last for the next generation. So, I guess you can look at it two ways, but...
If it's coming back on, like, if it was Nickelodeon it was coming back on, 100% wouldn't trust it. But Netflix, I feel like Netflix hasn't done me wrong yet, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
I forgot that's what started the whole thing, was this comeback to Netflix. So there you go.
I hope it's good. Like, I know Thundercats came back a couple of years ago, and I thought it was okay. It wasn't, like, amazing, but, like, it got kids into Thundercats, which I thought was cool. Yeah. And, I mean, on the other hand, it's, like, guys our age in the late 20s to 30s, you know, they're the ones that are going to be producing the new content now. They want their old IPs to make new Thundercats, new Voltron, new whatever. That's part of it too, but it's also a cash grab. So I guess just, you know,
didn't work for Fuller House or whatever.
Well,
I heard that didn't do so. I didn't watch it because that's the last thing I think anyone would actually. That's the kind of thing like, oh, remember Full House? Yeah, Full House. I love that growing up, and then you bring it back. And
I had
it's like,
Mary
why
Kate
did
and
you
Ashley,
do that?
Like full posable figures for that. I actually made some of my best. You know, imaginary things with, I had the full set, I had the house
just
that you could, like,
week.
Split open. It's great.
Is that a thing? Is that a real thing? Oh, dude, I'm so gullible.
No, I was just running with the joke for that one.
That was good. Got me.
Got him.
Got him.
He's got. All right, so, we're gonna close out this news here. We're gonna go through it quick, because we are low on time. So, Death of X is a new teaser event from Marvel. Nothing is known about it. It's just a big bloody X on a white piece of paper. Here you go, Death of X.
Okay.
So, it's like, hey, who are they killing? Is it the X-Men? Are they finally going to kill
the X-Men?
I hope
it's the Extraordinary X-Men title.
It's probably all X-Men, and they're all Inhumans, and Marvel just wipes their hands of mutants. The big theory is it'll be X-Men. Some people think it'll be the Earth X universe that they had a couple years ago, but I don't see that happening at all. I'm sure they'll just kill off all the X-Men. Linda Carter's going to have a role on Supergirl. I believe she's going to be the president. So everybody who's a fanboy of Linda Carter and still fondly think of that Wonder Woman interpretation. That is there for you. Jeffrey Dean Morgan will be appearing on The Walking Dead finale, which will be next week as of this recording. By the time I put it up, it may have already aired, sorry. And I'm very excited for that. And then we're going to go through this fairly quickly. The DC Rebirth stuff. Tons of details on the new titles that are coming out, some of the changes they're making, some of the retcons. Some of it sounds good. Some of it sounds like garbage. I'll leave it up to the viewers to
all
listeners
on board
to.
For All-Star Batman.
Yeah?
Snyder on Batman. You know, get another, at least, like, what is that going to be? At least a miniseries, 6 issues or so. I'm excited to see where that goes.
He's still jumping sharks.
Oh, full circle.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I've been too strong.
So, here's some of the titles. Some of them, I guess they're going to continue with the numbering or getting new number ones. It's not even clear, but here's your titles you're going to have. You're going to have Suicide Squad. You're going to have Green Arrow. You're going to have Red Hood and the Outlaws, but it's going to be different Outlaws. It'll be Red Hood, Artemis from the Amazons, and Bizarro. Because that makes sense.
Yes.
The Hellblazer, which will be focusing on John Constantine and Swamp Thing together. Not okay. Terrible.
No.
Deathstroke, Batman Beyond, where Batman Beyond will be Terry McGinnis again. Blue Beetle, where it'll be Jaime Reyes, with the mentor of Ted Kord, which is the original Blue Beetle, who was killed off in, like, 06. So they're just like, oh, no, he's back. Nope, he's back, it's fine. Harley Quinn, Teen Titans, Super Sons. I don't know how anybody feels about that, but it's Damian and Lois and Clark's son from the pre-52 universe. together to be superheroing teenagers.
Oh, super sucks. Sign me up. I get it now.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, maybe. Justice League of America, Action Comics, which will focus on said Superman from the pre-New 52 universe.
Is that what the whole rebirth thing is? It's going, weird. Skipping back?
It's like, hey, Convergence didn't fix anything, and it bombed.
This is why you get annoyed with DC.
Well, save it. You get annoyed at the end, because I'm not even done annoying you.
So, well, to be fully annoyed, okay.
Are you ready for New Superman? New Superman focuses on Kenji, Kenji Kong. What? He is a Chinese Superman.
I saw that. That's the manga-looking one, right? Is it black and white, I believe?
I don't know if that's the final art or not. Supergirl, Trinity, I don't know what that'll be. Superwoman, it's a brand new character. There is a version of Lex Luthor where he is pretty much a Superman. It's his suit, but it's all decked out with the S. Superman will return. Wonder Woman, which is kind of exciting because Greg Rucka is going to write it. The main Batman title, where we were hoping it would be Hickman, it is not Hickman.
I mean, I didn't actually think it was going to
happen.
That was based on nothing. I know you did, pal. I'm sorry.
Hashtag Tim was wrong.
Tim's
wrong.
I wish he was
now
right.
Now I'm scared of the back. Hey.
I would totally read that and buy 5 copies of number one and get a variant cover, but I don't think that was based on fact.
Look, he could write Batman eventually.
What is he writing? Is he writing anything?
No, he's not doing nothing but East to West, as far as I can tell.
Fine with me.
Sure. So Tom King, who is amazing, he's writing The Vision and Sheriff of Babylon and all these other books. He is the one. He's the new Red Hot writer. He's going to be writing Batman with art by David Finch, who I love because he did Moon Knight once.
That's cool. I mean, Sheriff of the only thing I've read by him, I started Sheriff of Babylon, and that's some brutal stuff.
He is,
It's good.
So he lives in D.C., I believe, and what I learned is he actually used to work for the CIA.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I'm like, what is it with these guys that are writing comics that were like Soul is a lawyer?
And yeah, like I like it, man. It makes for great writing.
That, if that means that stuff's all based on, that's even more disturbing for that. If he was like first-hand account knowledge of like wartime, I'm like, oh man, this is like double heavy now.
Right.
I was thinking that too. I was like, I wonder if this guy like has any experience, because there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I'll just say like Sheriff of Babylon 2, have you guys read it, the second issue?
No.
It's not a spoiler or anything, but there's just this one scene where he's with like the Iraqi like detective, and he goes over and these two soldiers are arguing about if this guy who they have in the morgue is the same guy as this guy on the video that's they're watching get his throat slit. So he goes over and he tells him, settle it for us. And he's like, you can tell this guy was, his throat was slipped the other way. Can you see the knife mark? And he's like, they're leaving. He's like, how did you know that? He's like, I just know it because I can tell one Iraqi man from another Iraqi man. But I just said I knew the knife print because all these people watch CSI. I was like, that's something like, you know, that might be so like weird and kooky that, and also horrible. That it might be, sure. Like, based on something real.
I believe that.
Anyway.
Anywho. Detective Comics, which will focus on team leaders Batman and Batwoman, leading a team consisting of Spoiler, Tim Drake, the Cassandra Cain Batwoman, and Clayface. Weird. Nightwing.
It's like all things, like, okay.
Nightwing. Grayson will turn into Nightwing. Batgirl, I guess the same Batgirl we've had. Birds of Prey, which will focus on Huntress, the Barbara Gordon Batgirl, and Black Canary. All-Star Batman is Snyder and Romita Jr. working with a bunch of great artists to do All-Star Batman. It looks pretty cool. There's a lot of different artwork for it. It's going to be one to pick up for sure with Snyder on it. Titans, which will be a team consisting of Dick Grayson, Donna Troy, Arsenal, and Beast Boy. And apparently that is a big book going forward. Titans Hunt, the current book that's out, is going to bleed into that, I believe. Aquaman returns, Justice League, which will be Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Aquaman, Flash, and for some reason, 2 different Green Lanterns. Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz. Looking at Schuster. Flash will return, which the events will be, there will be a Speed Force storm, and it'll create a bunch of speedsters that Barry has to try to train. And for some reason, Wally is the Kid Flash. Then there's Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, where Sinestro is your main bad guy. There's Green Lanterns, which focuses on those two Green Lanterns I mentioned earlier. And Cyborg. So, basically, this is what's confirmed, and some of it sounds pretty terrible. Then again, I thought a lot of the Marvel stuff sounded pretty terrible, and some of it was actually pretty good. A lot of it was still terrible, but, you know, some of it
usually
was good.
A lot of it is. I mean, it's you're always going to have less good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So how angry are you? You very angry? You're turning red. You haven't even said words.
I don't know. I mean, not a whole lot of that sounded interesting to me.
Sounds like you're going to drop some Justice League, or what are you going to do?
I mean, the lineup sounds fine, except for the two random lanterns in there. So I'll keep it.
Definitely picking up Super Sons, right?
Oh, yeah, first in line, you know.
Watch that be the good one, too. Watch that be the book that's, like, so good.
The Street Sharks effect.
Surprise! Straight!
Nah. The Batman sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. I mean, especially if Leander was here, he could tell you, too. Tom King's been doing awesome on Vision. I'm pretty excited about that. The only real problem I have is somebody that doesn't read a lot of DC. One of my favorite books, Cyborg, The Switch on the Creative Team. I think, you know, so far this run has been phenomenal. I don't know if it hasn't been selling the way they want it to, or if they just want to reboot it for the movies, or...
As far as the creative teams, I think they're just flopping everybody on the different books for the most part.
Right.
Most books got new people.
Yeah.
Complete new teams.
And it's just, you know... I mean, when is this supposed to take effect? Is there, like, a date?
I know a lot of it happens in August.
Okay.
Some of it probably happens leading up to it.
Okay.
I know they have a big Rebirth one-shot. I think it's only going to be it's an 80-page book, and it's going to be $2.99, which is actually kind of cool. So
wow.
It's like, hey, everybody buy into our crappy event.
Yeah.
It must be really stressful to be a comic writer these days, you know? I'm sure back in the day, you were like, oh, on the same book for 15 years. Today, it's like, oh, 5 issues, then you got to look for a new job.
I don't know, man. I would just do whatever they say, and I would have my own image book. Like, hey, this is what I'm really capable of doing. You can look behind the curtain. I'm over here with my image book. It's really good. So, that is it. I'm going to call it. You guys have anything you want to throw in here before we end it? We're all so comfortable. This is so comfortable.
Yeah, just we all fell asleep.
We'll bring the energy episode 36. No more lounging.
No guarantee.
I'm standing up for the whole next podcast. Don't hold me to that.
No guarantee. Well, thank you everybody for checking us out. Make sure you go check us out on YouTube to get the full experience. And thank you for listening.